Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, good evening. Welcome to Live Talk Radio with Shirley and Sherry. And we're here with Real Talk along with Healing Life's Hurts this evening. And I apologize, I have a cold, so bear with me. But anyway, tonight we're here at Real Talk, and we just want you to call in. The number is 1-347-857-1194. Call and discuss with us your experiences and your thoughts and your suggestions. We'd love to talk and pray with you tonight. Tonight's topic is on loving God, yourself, and others. I had this question for you guys tonight. It says, have you ever wondered why it's so easy to love others than it is yourself? Do you know that God is pure, unconditional love? Let's walk through this tonight together as we see if we can find some peace in loving ourselves in the midst of our dislikes and our differences. Amen. I found that I felt unwanted and disliked from myself as a child from the abuse I suffered, along with the words of disgrace. And the more you know that we're around the negative influences, the more we take on that image of ourselves. I remember, you know, walking in the mirror in the bathroom one day, and I looked at myself in the mirror, and I said, you know what, girl? I said, you're ugly, you're fat, and I hate you, Shirley. I hate you. Have any of you ever said this about yourselves before? It hurt, didn't it? Let me tell you something. You're beautiful, you're loved, and you're needed in this world. And this show is for you tonight. We're here to uplift you and to do some scriptures and do some prayers with you and to talk to you about why it's so easy to love others and not yourself and God. And hopefully we can clarify some things. So please call in again. Once again, the number is 1-347-857-1194. Good evening, Miss Sherry. How are you this evening?
Good evening, Miss Shirley. I'm doing well, honey. I'm blessed. I just want to say hello and welcome to all that's under the sounds of our voice tonight. And we pray that through God's tender mercies that the day spring from glory shines his bright light and peace on each and every one of you tonight. May you find peace and refuge in the conversation tonight. May it help you, and may you be blessed.
Amen. I was sitting here thinking, you know, about some scriptures and stuff, and you know, you and I were talking earlier, Sherry, that, you know, it's hard for us to love ourselves, and it's even hard for those to love God if they don't know God. But, you know, God is unconditional and pure love, as I said, you know, came to this earth, you know, for those that were lost and in prison, you know, which is any kind of, you know, hold on their body, you know, and to help those that which were brokenhearted and to restore them and to give us hope. And he came and God gave his son to die and to be crucified for us. So that we can be right with God. You know, I say that, and I'm going to say it every time I get a chance, that we are made right through his death and his resurrection, and he's going to make a home for us eternal, you know, in heaven, where we won't have to suffer any more pain, but just pure love and joy. And it came to my mind, you know, God said, surely, tell me about John 3:16. So it says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. And, you know, what a wonderful promise we have from God, you know. But they still don't understand the love of God sometimes, Sherry. And I just want them to know that they are loved right where they're at, even in their circumstances, even in their trials and their darkness, and even in their joy. You know, they need to know that they're loved by God. God loves us so much. He made this world for us. Did you know that, Sherry? You know that.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. And you know, Sister Shirley, you was talking about there, what you was talking about was the amount of bondage that results from self-rejection and self-hatred, right, and unwillingness to forgive, you know, our own self, you know, and so forth, you know, the things we go through, it's so shocking to us. And there's self-rejection. That's what you was talking about, not accepting yourself. always beating up on yourself. And what did I tell you today? I was pretty good at that myself. They, nobody has to go beat this girl up. She beats herself up. Not, you know, not happy with the person that, that God made you. You know, some people are not happy with the person that God made them. Because they feel this way because they feel like they're failing God, you know. They may have started out and messed up and, you know, and they despise the fact that they fail God and they hold it against themselves and they beat themselves up for it. Self-hatred, hating the person, you know, who God made in you, you know, considering yourself to be ugly like you was talking about and dumb and clumsy and all that other stuff, you know, just beating yourself up. And holding unforgiveness and bitterness, and you know, sometimes we continue to hold the things against ourselves. We hold it against ourselves, such as something in our past that was embarrassing or gross, even, you know, too bad to even think of, or that, you know, they're still ashamed of, you know, that we're still ashamed of. Even after repentance. And, you know, that's Satan that keeps bringing that up right there. You know, he'll just keep bringing that up to you to try to get you to just throw in the towel and quit. And, you know, we wind up being hard on ourselves and beating up our own selves mentally, physically, and emotionally. And, you know, and it makes us see ourselves as worthless, you know. We had that subject there. We talked about feeling worthless, you know. These are some of the reasons that, you know, and some of the things that happen to us that cause us to feel that way. And it's pushing us to reach, you know, irrational goals in our life, you know, and we're just struggling, you know, within ourselves trying to feel good about ourselves. Low self-esteem, you know, always seeing yourself as a failure, you know, or less than, you know, perfect. And And, you know, always comparing yourself with the people around you, you know, and it makes you ashamed of yourself and refuse to forgive yourself for something in your past. And you feel ugly, you feel stupid, that's what you was talking about, and worthless and good for nothing and all those things, they come from Satan. All those feelings, all those thoughts, they come from Satan. That's Satan pushing that, you know. He wants you to believe that stuff. And, you know, we can go on and on and on with it, you know, some of Satan's little tricks that he tries to pull. And, you know, we got to find a way to come above that tonight, and that's why we're here tonight. We're hoping that we can shed some light on it and help you with that, because these are some of the feelings that Shirley and I have had, that we've kind of talked with each other in the past and come through some stuff and talked with you guys since we started this out. And these are some of the feelings that we struggle with ourselves, you know, and Satan still tries to bring it up. You know, he still tries it on us, you know. But, you know, we're gonna rise together and we're going to help each other, and we're going to give you some scripture tonight. And so call in and let us know what's bothering you. If you got a prayer request, somebody in your family's having surgery, you would like for us to go in prayer at that time, whatever the need may be, we just want you to know we're here for you.
Amen. And you know what you were talking about, it comes back to what I said about the more we're around those negative influences, those, you know, the more we take on that image of ourselves, and that's a false lie from the enemy. You're correct, you know, Sherry. And You sparked two memories for me, you know, when you were talking about low self-esteem and something happened in your life, you know. Well, if nobody validated you as a person when you were growing up in your family or how you felt, or, you know, that there is a negative influence on your body and your mind right there, because then you start taking in those things that, okay, something's wrong with me. They didn't like me, you know, so they said I didn't look good enough, or the clothes I wore were not, you know, good enough. And then you always had to compare, like you said, to other people. And, you know, you don't have to compare yourselves to people. You are wonderfully, uniquely, one of a kind, made with the love of Christ to be exactly and to look exactly how you are now. However, if you have some things from the past, you know, like, say, sexual abuse was my issue. And, you know, I had physical, but I'm talking about sexual abuse. I remember I was just, like, you know, 13, and I started feeling better about myself, you know, as a girl and, you know, getting attention and stuff. But then it wasn't the right kind of attention that I got because my stepfather sexually abused me. I was, like, 98 pounds. And I looked good, and I felt good, and I was happy with the way I looked and the way I dressed and acted, you know. But when that sexual abuse came on, that's when I started, you know, hating my body. I hated the way I looked because he would tell me I was pretty or, you know, my clothes I would wear. He said, well, that looks very nice on you, and I wouldn't wear that stuff anymore. So that was the negative image that I was talking about. You know, we take on their image, and we turn it away from them, so they... So we hope that they would stay away from us, if that makes any sense, Sharon.
Amen. Yes, it does. And, you know, a story I like to go back to in the Bible is talking about David, where he was an humble man. He was a man that was after the heart of God, you know, after God's own heart. He went through some things there, but yet he praised and thanked God for the marvelous work that, you know, that God had made. And he was referring to his physical body. Psalms 139 and 14 is what you was talking about there, sis. It says, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. See, David was not boasting in who he was, but rather he was being thankful and he was rejoicing over the beautiful creation that God had made in him. Now, how many who consider themselves ugly are looking at things the way David did, you know? Probably not too many. But King David appreciated and he thanked God for what God gave him. Instead of saying, I'm ugly, David was saying, wow, look at what God gave me. It's marvelous. It's vital that we develop this same kind of attitude about what God has given each of us as well. So we're going to learn how to do that tonight. We're going to talk about starting over, you know, and we're going to learn how to take some steps tonight, and we're going to try to help you through that. So you might want to get a pen and paper. You might want to take some notes, you know. That way you can go back to it. Because there's a formula that I want to give you just a little bit later, and I'd like for you to write it down, you know, because I wrote this down a long time ago in the front of my Bible. And today, when I got my Bible, it just flipped open, and I thought, oh, thank you, Jesus. You know, that just goes right with, you know, the topic tonight. And thank you, Lord, for reminding me that I had that, and it's wrote down in the front of my Bible. So get your pen and paper, and you might want to copy this down. You might want to put it in a little folder or in the front page on your Bible. It's something you can relate to later that'll help you.
Amen. Amen. I enjoy that. And, you know, you're exactly right. You know, we have to learn how to be thankful for what we were made like, you know, how we're made and start to appreciate who we are in Christ. And if you don't know, you know, like a lot of them really don't know, you know, who they are in Christ yet, you know, and we would really like to help you know that too as well and take steps to change your thought process, you know. As for myself, you know, like I was saying earlier, Sherry had brought two images to my mind and you know, it's like when somebody tells you you're pretty, but then they turn around and hurt you and you know, take away your innocence or beat you up or say hateful things to you, that makes you not want to be around them, but you want to do the opposite, like I was saying. You know, they said you were beautiful and they, you know, misled you and hurt you, then you feel ugly either way because you were taken advantage of and you were put down. So you want to do the opposite and say, oh, how ugly, how can I change myself to be ugly so maybe nobody would hurt me or nobody would try to take advantage of me. And it got to the point, you know, and I'm not talking about vainglory, you know. I was a very good-looking young girl, you know. And everybody always told me that, you know, you're so beautiful. You look at your eyes are so blue. And, You know, I just, and then they would take advantage of me, Sherry, and I just, oh, and one day I seen myself. I was sitting there, and it was like a vision. I was sitting there, Sherry, and I had this broken piece of glass. And I took that glass, and I said, Lord, if this is why people keep coming to me to hurt me, I said, I'm going to be disfigured myself. So I saw myself take that piece of glass and just slice my face so I would have that ugly scar so maybe those people wouldn't hurt me anymore. That's how deceived I was, by all the negative influence, mentality.
And what he was doing, is he was blaming yourself.
Yeah,
he was blaming himself for being pretty,
right.
for having those looks. And much is said. Y'all come hearing people say how that we've got to forgive others. And we do, because the Word of God tells us that. But, you know, many of us seem to skip over the concept of forgiving ourselves. You know, believe it or not, it's equally important and vital to be sure that we've forgiven ourselves as it is that we've forgiven others. We've got to forgive ourselves for it. We've got to stop beating ourselves up and blaming it on us, you know. We have to realize that the attack was from Satan.
Yeah.
You have to see who was behind it. You know, but unforgiveness brings much bondage into our lives. And regardless, you know, of others and even ourselves, you know, bitterness, you know. And you brought on that bitterness was overtaking your life. You thought, well, if I just make myself ugly, they'll leave me alone. You know, I'll find peace in my life. You see, you was blaming yourself, disfigure yourself and make yourself ugly. You know, but that is so hard for us to do, is to forgive ourselves. You know, sometimes we haven't made the journey to start out with the Lord, but many of us have. You know what I'm saying? Many of us have started in the past and fail God and, you know, and beat herself up, you know, for failing him, you know. And we felt like that, you know, we can't start over. He don't want anything else to do with us. But regardless of what we've done in our past, you know, regardless of all that stuff, you know, it's never too late to start over. We've to start out forgiving ourselves, you know. And see that where the attack, the enemy, who our enemy really is. It's not even the person really, I mean, that is doing it, because Satan has overpowered them in some way and overpowered them, and we have to get to a point where we can forgive them, but we got to also forgive ourselves.
Yeah, that is the most important thing, is to forgive yourself, because if you want change, if you want things better in your life, if you want to be a better person, a better you, you have to start with yourself and forgive yourself for believing, for thinking those things, for doing some of those things to yourself, and then you can start your step to recovery. That's the most important thing. You're absolutely right, Sherry, is to forgive yourself.
Amen.
And, you know, God let me know that, you know, the thing is, how come it's so easy to love other people rather than love yourself? First of all, you know, in my opinion, you've never had that love, so you really don't know how to love yourself. But the love you wanted, you want to give to those other people. So you show love to them. It's like when you're pregnant, you know, and you're getting ready to have that baby. You're feeling all kinds of feelings, and you're not sure what to think, you know. But then as soon as that baby, you know, is born, you look into that baby's eyes, and you instantly have that love. That's the way God looks at us. He instantly, when he was creating us, fell in love with us. You know, God loves us. And that's what's instilled inside of us, is love from God. That's why it's so easy to love other people and to love, you know, God, first of all, but love other people. You know, you love God because he first loved us. And, you know, as I said previous, he gave his own son for us, you know. He gave his life freely for us. You know, because he loves it so much, Sherry. And it's just like, if you, you know, like others, like I was saying, how it's so much easier to love others than yourself is because of what you were talking about earlier, and that's because of all that bitterness and the false lies that we were raised up in, and the negative images that we see, you know. Like, you know, I even blame some of that on these model stuff and commercials and magazines and all that. The perfect girl is, what, 36, 24, 36, I don't know what that is, you know. To me, that's not perfect. You're perfect the way you are. Which brings me to say, and this is for myself, ladies and gentlemen, because I do this myself to this day, I am an emotional eater. When things start getting me down, most people, you know, don't eat. They can't eat. They can't eat. And I'm looking at them like, girl, I'll eat everything in sight, you know. And I still have to deal with that emotional eating when I get down, because that's what I used to do in the past, you know. When I was younger, I would eat and get fat so people wouldn't like me or mess with me, but that didn't help either. So now I had to kind of get that happy medium there and say, okay, if I want something to change and I'm not happy with the way I look, then I got a right to do something about it, because if now nobody's telling me that they're disgusted by me, I look at myself and say, okay, this is not the way God made you, do something about it, you know. And that's my own personal, you know, agenda there. That's my own personal walk that I have to deal with. And I wrote these little scriptures in the bathroom, you know, that I am worthy of love, that I am beautiful and wonderfully made in the image of God, and how can that be ugly? Amen?
Man, and you know, sis, that's that false guilt, see? And that is a tool of the enemy. It's the tool of Satan. That's the tool that he uses to pull us down. You know, see, God says that when we come to him and ask him to forgive us, he's removed our sins from us, you know, but Satan keeps tormenting that, you know, tormenting us with that and tormenting us, and we're continually beating ourselves up, and it's a tool that the enemy uses to pull us down. And, you know, if we associate ourselves with our sinful past, then we need to change the way that we see things. Because the way we are thinking does not line up with what God's word has to say about it. In Psalms 103:12, it says, as far as the east is to the west, from the west, you know, as far as that is, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. You know, and, you know, there's no way that the east and the west has ever been measured, the distance in between them. It's never been measured. I think that's some pretty amazing facts there. And that's how far that our transgressions are from us, as far as the east is from the west. And when we associate ourselves with our past failures, you know, after God's word has assured us that we have been removed from it, you know, then do we realize that we aren't really believing what God's word is saying? It kind of makes sense to me, you know. I mean, you know, we got to stop and think. Now, okay, now we got to remind ourselves. Now, what does the word tell me? This is what the word says. I cannot beat myself up with this any longer. And you know, we are the ones that has to take control of our lives. Nobody else can do that for us. Nobody else can mess our lives up, and nobody else can fix it for us. You know, we got to be the one to take control of it. Put it over in God's hand and say, okay, Lord, no matter what, I know what your word says, and I'm going to take you for your word, and I'm just going to look to you, and you're going to help me with this, Lord. You're going to help me. I need help with this. And no, we're not perfect. None of us is. None of us is, honey. There was only one, and he's going to sit back at the right hand of his Father. There was only one that was ever perfect, and we never will be, but we have to strive, and we have to, you know, it's a struggle to be, you know, like Christ. We're to be Christ-like as much as we can, you know, and the Lord knows our heart. So you give it all you got, and you look to the Lord, and he's going to help you with it.
Yes, he does, and he will, too. All we have to do is just tell him, Lord, help us to love ourselves. Help us to like where we're at, and help us allow you and your Holy Spirit to take us where you want us to be, you know. Help us to be what you created us to be. Help us to love ourselves as we love you. And it says, you know, even a man, love yourself as you love God, you know, love your wife too. And You know, I think there's just so many things that people see different in God. You know, they blame God for a lot of things, Sherry, and you know, they don't understand it because they don't talk to somebody and they don't read the Word and they don't get any direction, you know, and any mentoring. I know I asked a lot of questions, you know, and it was hard for, you know, me because, like I said, you know, I was not raised a Christian. My mom would always talk about God, but she sent us to church. But, you know, even when I was going to church, you know, I was being sexually abused by the bus driver. I mean, good Lord, you know, that's why I tell you guys, I was a prisoner, you know, for a long time. People always just wanted to touch me, and that's why I felt like I was just born, you know, to be abused. And I didn't understand it, and I heard about this God that I didn't know him. I knew of him, but not what he'd done and how he sacrificed himself for me and how much he loved me. I didn't even know God created me when I was a child, you know what I mean? But it was just like some people, you know, that's why I always go back to the worldly things, Sherry. You're probably wondering why. It's because I'm coming from real experiences in my life, and I'm letting these people know that, hey, I was there. I know what it was like. But now I'm on the other side of it where, you know, I'm a new creation and I'm a new creature and the old is dead and gone. I don't have to live there, but I'm sharing some of my past and experiences with you to show you that, hey, God is a marvelous miracle worker of restoration of your self-esteem and your love and your forgiveness for people and your, you know, unforgiveness as well. And there's a new way to handle these problems as they occur. You know, with God's love and his word and godly people to be around to help you and strengthen you. And that's what's so important because sometimes we just stay in our messes back there and we just, you know, decide to stay angry because of the unforgiveness and the betrayal. You know, there's a lot of that, you know. And it turns you into somebody you didn't even know existed inside of you. It's like, who am I? What am I? You know what I mean, Sherry?
Amen. Amen. Yes, I do, honey. And, yes. You know, we was talking about there, we started out with loving ourselves, you know, and we have to get to where we say, okay, it wasn't our fault, like I said, and accept who the attacker was, who caused it all, who caused every bit of it. And then we go on to loving God, you know, and then loving each other, you know. And there is a verse in the Bible that's from 1 John 3:17, it says, but whosoever hath this world's good and sees his brother hath need and shut up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? You know, if a man says, I love God, and he hates his brother, he's a liar. That's what it tells us in John 4:20. We are not ready to enter the kingdom of heaven if there is someone that we do not love. We can't, you know. If we don't forgive, he won't forgive us. And in that case, we should go to a private place and pray to our Father in heaven for grace to love our fellow man. Lord, help me love that person. And you know, it's only going to take the love of God that's going to help you come up above that and do that very thing. Make you love the unlovable. Make you love that person that attacked you. And it's really hard, you know. I've got a friend of mine that I go to church with, and her son was murdered.
Oh,
and she said, I had to go to the man that murdered my son and forgive him.
Oh, geez.
That took a lot of love of God in her. You know what I'm saying? The only way that we're able to do that is through the love of God, you know, because God loves us. You know, he gives us that love. And that's the only thing that's going to help us be able to forgive who attacked us, who hurt us. And like that lady that I go to church with, a friend of mine, she had to forgive the boy, and I mean, she took him stuff, you know, and visited him at the jail and told him about Jesus. I mean, ooh, you know, it only took the love of God. It had to take the love of God. That's the only thing that could help her come up above it, you know. And so the Lord will do that for us. But no matter what the situation is, we need to always love one another. Love one another.
Yeah.
And we don't want to be like a young man, you know, who told his girlfriend. I knew this story. I remember this story. It just popped in my head. And he told his girlfriend how much he loved her. And he said he would go through fire water for her, you know. I swim across the ocean for you. He said, I go to the ends of the earth for you. He was just telling her, you know, what all he would do for her. And he said, and he would even die for her. He said he said, I just can't live without you, you know. And then as he was leaving, he said, I'll see you tomorrow night if it doesn't rain. Oh, he's going to do all that wonderful stuff for her. But then he said, I'll see you tomorrow night if it don't rain. Couldn't go out in a little bit of rain for her. That just came to my mind, you know. Laughter is medicine for the soul, you know. Through the grief and the heartache, we got to laugh.
I appreciate that, yeah. Yes, yes. Thank you, Lauren. You know, number one, so far we've got down loving yourself through forgiveness and unforgiveness and asking God to come into your life, you know, and forgive you and help you to love yourself. And he will.
Amen.
He definitely will. And if you don't know God, then your first step would be to ask God to come into your life and show me, taste him. Let yourself know that God is good. That's part of his word. He says, come and see and taste and see that I am good, you know. And he will show you. He'll show you. And then he just got me at a loss for words for a second. I'm sorry. But in John 15 and 12, it says, this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. And that's exactly right. You know, we have to love our enemies and pray for them, you know, and that was something hard to do, you know. I had to forgive, you know, my brothers and my stepdad and some other folks in my life, but to sit across from my abuser and to actually tell him, you know, it's okay, I understand, I'll forgive you. And the look in his eyes, I'll never forget, Sherry. He looked at me and said, what? I said, I love you because God loves you. And I said, I forgive you for everything you've done to me. And I asked for forgiveness for anything I've ever done to hurt you. And his eyes were just like lost, you know. This man really put me through living, you know what, and took away my daughter. And, you know, that tore me up. But I kept praying for years, you know, and now she's back in my life and has been. And I thank God for that, but I'll tell you, but to look into your abuser's eyes or the one that hurt you and harmed you, you know, and took away from you, it wasn't hard to do because God was there. It was such a different feeling. I don't think I've ever really felt that before. It was really true forgiveness, you know?
Amen.
And I just can't explain it. It's just something. I know it was God. It wasn't me. It was his love in me that, you know, told me, you need to forgive others or I won't forgive you in front of my Father, you know. And I said, oh, Lord, you know, I don't want to have unforgiveness in my heart, Lord, because this place here is really bad on earth. I said, I've had enough of that pain and misery. You know, I don't want to spend eternity in misery, and I want to be with someone that loves me and someone that knows me, you know, like the back of his hand, you know, and the hairs of my numbered on the back on my hair, you know, my hairs are numbered. God even numbers our hairs as he loves us that much.
That important.
Yeah.
You know, Sister Shirley, we was talking about, you know, God, you know, loving God, you know. Do we sometimes say how much that we love the Lord? Yet our actions shows far different, don't they?
Yes,
you know, the Bible says, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. You know, your actions will show the Lord if you love him. This is how we show him that we love him. Now, that scripture was found in 1 John 3 and 18. It's where that scripture is there. We're talking about, let us not love in word, either in tongue. You know, it's not good enough to just to say it with your tongue, not to say, Lord, I love you. You know, it's what we say, it's what we do. When we get on that site, if we put something good on there, we're showing the Lord that we love him, and we're showing everybody else how much we love the Lord. But if we get on there and we put something on there, you know, and it's not godly, what are we showing?
Mm-hmm.
What are we showing?
We're hypocrites. Hypocrites.
Yeah, that's what we're showing. It's bad. It's bad, yeah. You know, and we're not pleasing God at all. And we're not going to be able to win others because, let me tell you something, you know, there's going to be a lot of people that's not going to make the move in the right direction to give their heart to the Lord. But I can guarantee you of one thing, and that is that they are watching your life. They're watching your actions. They're watching what you're saying. And that'll be the very thing that will win them, you know. And if we're not doing it right and we're not showing the Lord that we love him, you know, Sister Shirley sings in church, and I do too, and it's a gift that God has given both of us. And I show the Lord that I love him when I go to church, and I'm not ashamed of him, and I can stand up, and I can take my voice and just let it come from down deep in me, you know, the way the Lord gave it to me. He gave it to me deep, and he takes a hold of that song, and the words are anointed. You know, I am showing the Lord that I love him, you know, in song and in praise, you know. And there's a little story that come to my mind. A man once saw a boy, and he was carrying another little boy on his back, and while he was playing with his friends, and the man told the little boy, he said, it's too hard, it's too hard on you to carry such a heavy burden. And the other little boy that was carrying his, he looked at him, you know, and with a real quick reply, he said, he's no burden, he's my brother. You know what?
Oh.
We too should be willing to bear one another's burdens, right? And fulfill the law of Christ. And when we are fulfilling the law of Christ, we are showing the Lord that we love him. We are putting proof in the pudding. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am, I do. You got me tearing up.
That's all right. I said before, we're going to cry together. We're going to laugh together.
That's right. We do that a lot, don't we?
Yes, we do. We're going to get well together. But, you know, you were talking about, well, we brought up to my remembrance, you know, and it just crushed my heart and my spirit. I just teared up. And, you know, God says, as believers and children of Christ, even the churches, we are supposed to be in one accord, but there's not. And that's why Christians get such a bad reputation, being hypocrites, because of their character, their actions, their lifestyle. And that's something I pray about a lot. God, don't let me be somebody false. Let me be somebody that really stands on your love and your hope. And help me to show others that you can have fun being a Christian. It's not boring, you know.
Amen.
And with each other, believe in the same God. There shouldn't be any division, but there is so much pressure, even on church people, that they've letting that chaos and division get into their church and, you know, cause bad reputation, you know, for God. And, you know, we have to stand before God one day, and they're just going to have to talk to God about it, you know. They're going to be by themselves. You know, they know what the Word of God says, and you're supposed to be together, supposed to help one another. That's why God made Adam and Eve, or Eve for Adam, to help him, to be a helpmate, so he wouldn't be alone. And, you know, in Genesis, I think it's 1 in 20. I don't want to fib here, but I got it written down. Here it is. It's in now. Genesis 1:29, I think. It talks about how God said, let's make man in our own image, you know. Yeah, it's 26. Genesis 1:26, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creepy thing that creeps upon the earth. God created man in his own image, and in the image of God created he him, male and female, created him, them. And that's from the King James, of course. And then down on the 31st verse, it says, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And that evening and that morning were the sixth day. You know, God created us to be together, male and female, and to help each other. And that even includes, you know, the pastor and the churches, the ministers, the missionaries, the praise and worshipers, the teachers, you know, all of us are supposed to be together and help each other. And
we're together in harmony.
Yeah, I just pray that God gives them peace and peace of mind and makes their heart repent and fall on their face before the Lord and ask God for direction instead of taking on everything on their own self and trying to do more that they need to do when all they need to do is just love God and love one another.
Man, and you know, Sissy was talking there, you know, about you want to be real about what you're doing, you know, and the word that come to my mind was authentic, and that's what authentic means, real. Not imitation, you know. And, you know, there is, I'm not going to lie to you, and I know you won't lie to the people, and I won't lie to them, because there's going to be people, you know, that we meet that we're not going to like. We're not going to like their actions. But we have to look past that, and we have to love them. We have to look past, we got to go past like, and we got to love them, and we got to remember that God created them. And that he loves them for his sake, you know. And we, you know, he loves us for our sake. So we got to love them for their sake, for their soul's sake. You know, we got to look at their, we can look at the way they act and stuff, and we can dislike it, but we got to love them. They got a soul, you know. And see, this needs to be a governing truth in our lives so that we walk as saints should walk. And there's a little saying, and I've got all kinds of little. Oh, I collect them. I love them. I've collected them since I've been just a little girl. And this says, "Those who deserve love the least needs it the most."
Amen.
Now that's putting it where it's at, ain't it? You know, they need it the most. They got something going on inside of them. They got war going on inside of them. Those who deserve love the least. You're not going to like them. You're going to look at them. You're going to say, they don't even deserve to be loved. But, you know, what if Jesus felt that way about all of us when we mess up? You know? Mm-hmm. And we would be hurting for it. You know? That's the reason why it's so important to forgive, and it's so important to look past that, you know, a dislike and see that soul, because that's what's important, is that soul.
Yeah. I was listening to this story one time about this. He was a preacher, and he was over in the, I think it's Africa, over there, somewhere in Africa. And he said he left for work that morning, and everything was just normal, you know, got up and done his daily thing, you know. And he was driving to work, and he ended up into a car wreck, and he said when he opened his eyes, he was in heaven. And he said it was so beautiful there that when he was walking through heaven, the angel was just talking to him and pointing, and he said even the flowers that were there were just swaying to like music and singing. And he said it was just so beautiful, and he said, I just can't explain the colors here. They're more vibrant, more real than he's ever seen before, the colors, you know. They were magnificent. Well, anyway, as he was talking, and he said, I get to go see God. And the angel looked at him and he said, no. And he said, next thing you know, he was falling and he went down to hell. And he looked over and he asked the angel, he says, why am I here? I'm a Christian. I'm a preacher. I've done everything God's asked me to do. He said, yeah, but this morning you had a fight with your wife and you had unforgiveness in your heart. Mm-hmm. And he started weeping and weeping and weeping. And he said, God, forgive me. Don't let me stay here. And he said, the next thing you know, he came back to his body, and it was like 3 days later, his wife and them had already got ready to have their funeral and everything, you know, and he was in the morgue. And the guy woke up and got up.
Mm.
And he said it just changed his life forever. Isn't that scary and amazing at the same time?
It is.
You know, I get tired of hearing people say, and I'm just going to say it the way I've heard it. I'm so tired of this living on, he said, I'm tired of this stuff. He said, they say, I can't wait to get out of here and just die. He said, because this world, I've had nothing but living hell anyway. And I said, buddy, you ain't seen hell yet.
Mm-mm. You don't want no part of it.
Uh-uh.
Nobody does. Nobody in their right mind.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody in their right mind could say that. And, you know, sis was talking about there a while ago, you know, some of us have started out before, you know. I mean, I found myself in cold condition, you know, right on the verge of backsliding. I thought, Lord, what's going on with me, you know? Lord, help me. Help me scoot back up to the table, Lord, to you. I know I've had feelings, you know, and, you know, and the Lord has helped me overcome it, you know, because I called out to him. And, you know, I go back to the story of the children of Israel, where they had gone so far against God and they rebelled to the point that, you know, they felt like that, you know, he would no longer be their God. And
right.
Maybe they thought that God would not deliver them again, see?
Mm-hmm.
And they had all these thoughts. Over and over and over and over, you know. And then they begin to remember the former things,
mm-hmm.
how that God had delivered them in the past. They remembered past victories, and they were trapped. When they were trapped by the Red Sea, they remembered him bringing them through that, and they had nowhere to go, how God made a way for them and how he fed them. And when the army was about to overtake them, you know, then they remembered how he protected them. And they could remember the former things, but they couldn't see the future, you know.
Right.
But that is why God said that I'm going to do something new. You know, maybe that's where you are right now tonight in your life, you know. Maybe you feel like you've made so many mistakes and there's no room for another, you know. Maybe you feel like that there's no room for another start, you know, that you failed God so many times and you sinned it all away, you know. You sinned all your chances away. Maybe you feel like God doesn't want anything to do with you anymore. And maybe you feel like you have no future at all with God ever again. The good news is tonight that God is, he's right there, and it's not over.
Yeah.
God says it's not too late. He says, I have plans for your life, and I'm about to do something new for you. You know, just tonight, you know, to not think about turning around and going back and making a fresh new start, a fresh new start. It's not too late. It's never too late. The way it's too late is when, like Sister Shirley said, that guy was laying in that morgue, you know, and that breath don't come back to your body because, you know, God can give it. He gave it, and he can take it away, you know. He's the creator. He can take it away from you. And that's when it's too late. And when it's, you know, and you, and hell is a place of fixation, you know. That man had a dream, you know. There's been many that's had dreams, you know. And they have slipped out of their body and had, you know, experiences, out-of-body experiences. That's not into witchcraft. That really does happen. It ain't been too long ago that happened to me right here in my family room. I saw myself, you know. I was telling Sister Shirley about it today. I saw myself. I was in no pain. They couldn't get a pulse on me. You know, I was in no pain whatsoever. I was as white as a sheet. And I saw my son and my husband, and they were frantic. And my son was so hurt, you know. And I just told the Lord, I said, Lord, I can't go right now. You know, I got some things I got to finish, Lord. I got some things, I got some work to do for you. I said, please, Lord, let me go back. I can't leave my son right now. And I don't know when that happened, but that did happen. And the next morning I woke up in the bed. I was telling Sister Shirley about it today, you know, and up to that point, you know, I was kind of excited about going home. I would have dreams about going home. I'd have dreams about heaven, and I could sing a song about home in church and just get lost in it, you know, because I just, that was my vision, you know. I mean, and I still want to go. I still want to see what my home looks like in heaven, you know, but I know I got work to do, and that's why the Lord has me on here tonight with Sister Shirley, because he knows what he's doing, and if he knows what he's doing in our lives, he knows what he's doing in your life. You just got to give him that control. You're the only one that can say, Lord, here it is. I need your help, Lord. No, I'm not perfect, Lord. I need your help. I want to turn back to you, because there's not anything you could ever do that would cause the Lord to hate you. Not ever. His love is unconditional, and he's waiting on you tonight. So if you feel like you're in that place, you know, and you need to turn back to him, you can do it, and you don't need a big band, and you don't need to be in church. You know, you can do it right where you are, in your car. You can do it going down the highway. Pull off, you know, and talk to the Lord. He's right there. There's not any place you'll ever go that you won't find him there, because he's there. He's there for you. Where you at, my sister?
I'm right here. I was just saying amen. Hosea 14:4. It says, I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from him. Talking about, you know, like Sister Sherry was talking about, there's no sin that's too far away from God's love and forgiveness. He is right there. You know, that's what kept me when I backslid. I felt like God, you know, was ashamed. I was ashamed because God had delivered me from all that mess and gave me a clean heart and gave me a fresh new start, like Sherry's talking about. And I felt like I heard him. But you know what? I heard this preacher say one time, he said, you might have done things that hurt your parents or hurt others and hurt yourself. He said, but most of all, you hurt God. Come back to God and let him heal all those wounds. He said, God is right here. And that's when I stood up, and all those chains around my wrist and my ankles flew off, and I went up and I gave my life to Christ, and I ain't never been the same. I still had to deal with some of the stuff, but I've not gone back in the name of Jesus, you know, back to those old painful things that kept me from him, you know, the fear. You know, my biggest fear, apparently, because it kept coming up when I was asking my sister before I gave my life to Christ, was adultery. Sherry, do you know that? Did I tell you that? It was adultery. And I said, and it was such a fight, I'm telling you. I said, will he forgive me my sins? And she said, yes. I said, even the adultery sin, even the adultery, I have to know that he's going to forgive me for that. Because I didn't just get my life ruined. I run marriages. I run happy homes. I run people's lives because I didn't know how to be a good person. So I didn't know if my God loved me that much to forgive me. And he did. And when I trusted in him and I stood up and fought that enemy who tried to keep me down in that chair because I couldn't move, I took that step of faith, that hope, that, you know, that God is real. And God loves me, and he's going to help me. And I felt the chain fly off my wrist and my ankles. And I ran to that altar. And there was a little girl up there, and I looked at her. I didn't know who she was because I was out of state. I was at my sister's. I put my arms around that little girl, and I said, God loves us so much. I never felt that before, Sherry. Ever in my life, I've never been loved like I was loved that day. I never was forgiven that in my life like I was that day. So I know the love of God is there. His unfaithful love, and he will forgive us, and he will bring us to his bosom, and he will hold us, and he will help us, and he will restore us to what he created us to be, because when God has a plan or purpose, ain't no man or human or anything evil going to take that away from us until God allows us to complete what he has for us to do. Amen?
Amen. It was that pain that was in your heart, Sis, that was keeping you from making that fresh new start. And,
it was shame.
You know, I was telling you that I kind of got a formula on that right there, and you spell the word start.
Right.
And you take the S, and the S stands for stop making excuses for failure. Stop. That's what the S stands for. Stop blaming others. Stop seeing yourself as a victim. See, and that's what we have to do. We have to stop seeing ourselves as the victim, you know, and as the victor, you know, that we got victory through Jesus Christ, you know. Stop seeing other people. You know, other people can hurt you, and they can harm you, and they can scar us. But we are the only one that can ruin our own life. And we can do that by not turning it over to the Lord and getting help, the right kind of help. And no one can do that. No one can do that except for us, and no one can ruin our lives without our permission. See, even though they hurt us, even though they scarred us, you know, we're still, if we don't turn it over to the Lord, we're still giving them permission to keep hurting us over and over and over. So the S in start is stop, and that's your first one. Stop blaming yourself. Stop coming up with excuses, you know. Stop all those things that are causing you to feel that way. And the next one is to take inventory of our life. We got S and we got T. Take inventory of our life. Look at what you've been through and the experiences that you've been through and learn from them. You know, take inventory. And then A is act. We're going to act in faith. If you want to change your circumstances, you've got to step out in faith. So you've got to take action in faith. So act in faith. And then R is refocus. Refocus on things. You know, rid yourself of fear of failure. You know, don't be afraid that you're going to fail God again. You know, I started out before and I've done this 20 times and I feel useless, I feel worthless, and I feel like I'm not worthy. You know, you've got to rid yourself of that fear of failure. You know, be careful how you think, because your life is shaped by your thoughts. And, you know, that's what you were saying, Sister Shirley, earlier. Our life is shaped by our thoughts. You know, that's how our life takes shape. And trust is the last one. We got S-T-A-R-T, trust. T for trust. Trust God to help you be successful by depending on him, not yourself. You know, because we can't do anything ourselves. But when you fall, let me tell you what to do. Get back up because you came with him and say, you know what? I'm going to try harder, Lord, for you. Get back up and try harder and just keep pressing on. Keep going. Keep going. You know, just keep going. And if you mess up and a bad word slips or something, yeah, you can say, Lord, I'm sorry, I don't even know where that comes from. And after a while, you won't even have that urge to do that. You know, we're not perfect, and things will slip up on us, you know. That don't mean that we're a failure. When we are a failure is when we stop trying at all. You know, but as long as we're trying, God don't count us as a failure. He gave me that himself one day when I was down praying. And I said, Lord, when do you count somebody as a failure, you know? Lord, I feel like I failed you, you know, in so many ways, you know. And he said, when you stop trying to do anything for me, you know, that's when I look at you as a failure, you know. But if you keep on trying, if you keep pressing on. But now that's a neat little formula right there, and it's S-T-A-R-T, you know. And I'll tell you, that's blessed me so many times. When I've been down, I've just flipped it open. The day I flipped it open, I thought, that is so good, Lord, thank you. That goes right with the topics tonight, because we got to start over. We got to, know, we got to keep going. We got to keep pressing on. You know, get back up and say, you know, Lord, I'm going to try harder this time. And just hang in there. Hang in there. He'll help you through it. Yes, he will.
Amen. I like that, Sherry. That was really awesome.
Yeah, that's a neat little, I don't even know where I picked that up out, but I'll see something, it'll catch my attention. I like to read. And I was like, oh, thank you, Jesus, that's so good. I got to just write this down.
Yeah, I'm enjoying this. I like that. There's this little thing, and it says, I'm beautiful in my own way because God makes no mistakes. Don't forget that. I want everybody to know that we are beautiful. God sees us as beautiful as his workmanship. We are perfect in his eyes because he created us and he doesn't make any mistakes. You're not a mistake in this world, and you are needed and you are loved no matter what anybody else says. You are very well needed in this world, and you have a work to do for the Lord. I'd just like Sherry to lead us into a repentance prayer and salvation prayer, if she would, and then when she's finished, we'll see what God lays on our heart for this evening. So, Sherry, would you mind to say a prayer for those who don't know the Lord and those who know the Lord that need to repent?
Dear precious Lord, as we come before you, Lord, as graciously, Lord, as we know how, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for this time on the air, Lord. Lord, with the people that are out there within the sound of our voice, Lord, we just hope and pray, Lord, that we spoke what you give us, Lord, and sowed that seed, Lord, and that it will do good, Lord. And, Lord, we pray for all those out there, Lord, that need to turn back to you, Lord, or need to just turn it over to you for the first time, Lord, and see all that you've got in store for them, Lord. Lord, I just pray, Lord, that they'll be able, Lord, to just stop what they're doing, Lord, and just open up their eyes to their hearts, Lord, and let them see, Lord, and their ears, Lord, and let them hear, Lord, what you have to say, Lord. Lord, I just pray for each and every one, Lord, that they find peace tonight, Lord. And, Lord, I know they're hurting. Lord, I know you give us this burden, Lord, for the hurt, Lord. And I know they're out there, Lord. And Lord, I just ask you, Lord, to just wrap them up, Lord, with your love tonight, Lord. Let them just open themselves up to you, Lord. And let them come to you, Lord. And let them make that choice, Lord, to make a brand new start, Lord. And Lord, I will never fail to give you the praise, the glory, and the honor for it all, Jesus. I lay it at your feet, Lord. And we agree, Lord, in your precious name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Sharon. Well, the Lord laid this on my heart every time we get up in the morning, you know, and we're putting on our makeup, or the men are in there shaving, or we're brushing our teeth, or whatever. The Lord says, say this, Lord, help me to look at myself the way you see me, Lord.
Yeah.
And that's very important, because it only matters how God sees us.
Amen.
God sees us. He sees our heart. He sees our need. He sees our disappointment. He sees where we feel like we've been lied to and used and cheated and not used and, you know, sitting there feeling empty. Let God fill you up this today. Let him fill you with his love and his hope and his presence and his Holy Spirit. And just let him guide you into loving yourself. And I'll tell you what. Once you start allowing God to love you and you to love God and you learn how, then you're going to love yourself in a whole new way that you never even dreamed possible. And you
Amen.
Think you loved others. You think you loved others now. You wait until the love of God gets in you and steers your heart, and he shows you things that you need to let go of, and you obey him, and you watch the love that you have for other people. Because now you see it's not just about you anymore. It's going to be about others. And their salvation and their, you know, needing guidance from you. So just allow God to use you and just trust him. Just take that leap of faith like you've never took before. And, you just watch the power of God come upon you, and you be filled with His Holy Spirit and love and just joy and peace that you've never known. Even the sky's going to look different and clearer in your eyes. The colors are going to look different and more alive. You're just going to look things from a different pair of eyes this time. Trust in us. Trust God, because we've been there. We know. We know what He's like, and we love Him, and we thank Him for everything that He's doing and going to do and continue to do in all of our lives. So just try to be happy with where you're at in the way you look. And like I said, the Lord laid it on my heart to ask God to look at myself the way you see me, Lord. Help me to love myself so I can love you and love others truly, Lord, love. There's nothing like that unconditional love, because that makes me know that God really loves me, you know, and He wants to help us change. We have a caller at 417 area code. Would you like to say anything or add to, or I got a question or a prayer request?
Yeah, I have a prayer request.
Okay.
I pray that I need prayer. I get into these moods where I don't want to talk to no one. It's depression mood, I know it is. And it's getting more and more frequent. And I know that the Lord will cure it, but anybody and everybody that knows when you get into a depression that you just don't want to talk to anybody. And I'm trying to pull myself out of it.
Yes, my sister, Lord.
You're in the right place, sweetheart. You're in the right place. Well, dear Heavenly Father, you've heard the request, Lord, and we just lay it at your feet, Father, and we just ask that you take this up, Lord, and that you would just intervene in this situation, Father God, where there's depression, that you would bring joy and freedom right now, Father God. What the enemy means to do for harm, you're going to turn it out and work it out for the better, Father God. She's asking that you help her with this depression and help her from closing herself off from other people, which comes her help, Lord. You know, Lord, we just all go through this, but Father, we just break off that and on her in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord. Allow her to see that you have put people in her life to help her and to encourage her, Father God. No matter what she says or does, help her take away the guilt and the shame that makes her feel that she can't come to you or come to others, Father. Lord, we're not perfect, and you said we never will be. There was only one perfect one, and that was your Son, Jesus, Lord. Help us to learn that help her to see that wherever she feels lonely and discouraged, that she can reach out and just say, hey, I need help, just like she did tonight. We thank you for her courage. We thank you for the strength that you put in her to allow her to come and talk and ask for prayer, Lord. And Lord, we just ask that you just touch her and give her peace. And Lord, her tears, turn them into joy, Father God. Turn them into the happy tears, Father, and let her feel your Holy Spirit filling it up with her love, with your love for her, Father. Lord, we just thank you, and we love you, and we praise you in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen, amen. You know, sometimes, you know, that's a tactic from the enemy, you know, and I know it's a disease, but God can deliver that depression. But we all go through it, and we all feel like, well, let's just close ourselves off and take some time away from everybody, but that's not what we need to do.
I was just there today, wasn't I, sis? I was right there today.
We need to speak out. We need to cry out to people to help us.
God puts people there to help.
You all right, Rob?
Yeah, I'm okay.
Do you know the reasons that you're down? You know the reasons that you're getting down right now?
I have my suspicions, I guess you could say. Yeah. It's just getting time to where my daughter and her family's going to be moving out, and I'm realizing that I'll be the only one back in my house again.
Yeah.
Yeah. That'll do
it,
baby.
Get used to the family being there, and it's kind of nice. And then when you know they're leaving, it's like, I'm going to be alone in this house. Am I going to be able to handle that, you know? But you will.
Oh, I know I will. I do have a praise report, though.
Good.
On top of all of this, the Lord does work, and I know He does work. He's proved, I don't know, countless bazillion times that I no longer have to go to Akron, Ohio to get my knee surgery done.
Ooh,
they finally
found
a doctor right here in town to where I don't have to travel anywhere just except for right across town.
Yeah.
Amen.
Man, we praise Him for the little things, Sissy, and I'm telling you, the big is on their way. Let me tell you. Yes, the big is on their way, you know. And even for even silly stuff, I found out that it's okay to praise Him for silly stuff.
I do that.
I found some silly stuff in my house. So. And
now
I praise Him for even that.
Yeah, my mom, she was Roman Catholic, but she always talked like she wasn't. Because my mom always told me that, you know, in order to have a down, you have to have an up, too.
Uh-huh.
Well, I guess this is my down and my up. You know,
we all get there, honey. I was there today. It's just a day or two before my son's birthday, and I had to celebrate one and cry over the other, and it's hard, you know. And everything just overtook me today. I need help. I need help. I need help. We all get there. Yeah, we have our ups and our downs, but, you know, maybe if we had everything up, you know, all the time, we wouldn't know how to appreciate the good in our life. We've got to have some downtime. Yeah.
Well, I think that's what my mom meant by in order to have a good time. You know, an up time, we have to have a down time, too.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Makes sense to me, honey.
It's just that I know that when there's a downtime, sooner or later, Lord's going to show me something that's good.
Yes.
Amen.
Just
you're breathing.
Sometimes it takes forever, it seems like.
Anytime
or
you have breath in your body, that's good. That's a good thing God's showing us. I said anytime we have breath in our body, that is a good thing. God's still showing us something good right there, says. Anytime He allows us to reach out for help and prayer, that's a good thing. God's showing you something there, you know?
Yeah.
Think about those little things that we don't normally would think about, you know? You can see, you can speak, you can smell, you can talk, you can taste, you can walk and cry and laugh, and, you know, you're still alive, girl. That's a blessing from the Lord. That's something you see from God right there.
Yeah. That's true.
And it's funny because my daily devotion that I'm going to read to you is ask for help. So listen to this. It says, confess to one another, therefore, your faults, your slips, your false steps, your offenses, your sins, and pray. Also for one another that ye may be healed and restored to a spiritual tone of mind and heart. The earnest, heartfelt, continual prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working, James 5:16. And she's talking about, you know, addiction, depression, habits, or negative attitudes can wear you out. If you need deliverance from some wrong behaviors, the Bible teaches that the Holy Spirit is your helper. See John 14:16. Confess your need to God and ask Him to deliver you. He may lead you to confess your faults to other believers whom you can trust to pray for you. The world says that we are to confess our faults to women, not the world. The word says that we are to confess our faults to one another so that we may be healed and restored. And if you're out of control in some areas, be honest about it. Today can be your day of deliverance. And that's for all of us. Amen.
Amen.
So
but it just so happens that maybe God was talking to you also at this particular moment, you know, Robin. Just talking about asking for help and you know, that's a pretty good scripture, and that's a pretty good reading for this evening too.
Well, he always has his time of coming out with something now, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does. If we just obey that voice, Paul, talk, say something. He's going to work it out for us, honey. We just got to have that faith, you know, like I've been talking about. Take that leap of faith. Step out. I don't care what people think of me. If I messed up, I'm going to tell the whole world, pray for me. I messed up.
Yeah.
Don't judge me, because I don't care. I want help. And we know where our help comes from, right?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Definitely.
That's right.
Yes, the Lord told me to tell you something here a while back, and he was trying to show me something with you. And you talking tonight about your house being empty. The Lord told me to tell you that he wants you to open your home up, invite people in, study that word, gain strength from it, be delivered, help others get it along with you, and fill your home up, fill it up in a way you've never filled it before, and he'll help you with that void. That'll take care of it. That'll put joy. That'll put peace there. You know, I've done this in the past, you know, with my own home, and people that come in my house, they can just sit right here and just go right off to sleep. And there's such a peace of God. And that's what it leaves behind, is a peaceful, serene, so peaceful. And the Lord's wanting to use you. He told me that early on, when I spoke with you. And that's what he's wanting to do.
Amen.
Yeah.
She may not be able to see it right now, but she got to show it to her and reveal it to her.
I'll show it. Yeah, he'll show it to you. Yeah. He's wanting to use you, and he's wanting to use your home. And he's wanting the word to be. And it'll help you. It'll help you. It's medicine for you. You know, it'll help you gain strength in it. And you study it out together. I love to have Bible study. I just find so much strength in it. Seems like I can get through anything. You know, since she was talking about, you know, the power of God making us love so great. Remember me telling you that story about that guy that was allergic to a cat? And he said he came home and he said further he hated cats, he was allergic to them. You know, made him sneeze, made him get in bad shape, you know, couldn't see, couldn't swallow, you know. He hated cats, but when he came home that night, first thing he saw was that old cat sitting up on the fence. He grabbed that cat, he said, and he hugged the fire out of it. That cat trying to get away from him, he said that. He said, I want you to know, people, he said, I didn't have an allergy one, and I ain't sneezed at another cat.
Amen.
You know that had to be God.
Yeah, that had to be God.
To be God. He can do that for us. He can do amazing things for us. He wants to do it in our lives. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We're such a fleshly people. I don't care what anybody says. You know, we might be spiritual, too, but we still fight that flesh every day, you know, just like Paul said. And our flesh comes out of us, and we still make mistakes, you know. But thank God we have a God that's loving and forgiving, you know, and helps us get back up and keep going. And that's what we need to do, is just keep going and quit looking back. You know, when we make that mistake, it's gone. After we ask for forgiveness, it is gone. So but we don't have much time left, but we're going to invite everybody back again next time with Real Talk Live with Shirley and Sherry and Robin as well. And we thank you for listening. We hope that we helped you. If you have any questions or comments, please email us or put it in a comment down there and on our site, Healing Life's Hurts group and Coffee, Prayer, and Sharetime group in Facebook. You can ask to join there, and then you can message us, and maybe we can help you. I think that start thing that Sherry did tonight, the definition of start, I think each and every one of us could live by that and get some help with that. And if you need a copy of it, just talk to us on there and leave us a comment, and I'm sure Sherry will be glad to share that with y'all. And
it almost stopped.
Yeah. Just remember that in loving God, you're going to learn how to love yourself more than you ever thought possible, and loving others and reaching out to them through the love that God places within you when you let go of all these lies that we've been told for so long, that we're not lovable, that we're not worthy of love, and that we're ugly or whatever it is. Trust me, you're beautiful in God's sight, and you're beautiful in our sight too. Amen. We may not know you or see you, but our hearts tell us we love you, and we're pulling for you, and we're here to strengthen you and to encourage you and to pray with you and to help you out and let you know that you're worth something and you are needed in this world. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Well, until next time, we'll say good evening, and we love you. We praise you, Lord. We thank you for this time to minister and to open up our own hearts and things that we're not too proud of before we knew you, Lord, but it's going to help people, so that's okay to be transparent. So, Lord, we ask that you touch each and every heart that's listening. Bless Robin and Sherry for coming on here and being a part of this with us, Lord, and we can ask that you continue to enlarge our territory, Lord, and strengthen us, Father, and we just pray your love and your grace and your mercy abound on each and every person here, Father, that you would just help them to learn how to love you, to love their self, and to love others in a way they never knew was possible, because you're a God of making the impossible possible. So from Shirley, Sherry, and Robin tonight, we say God bless you and have a great evening and good night. Good night,
Amen.
Ladies.
Good night.
Hey, glorious Thursday night, everybody.